Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder where God is when our world seems to be going out so out of control. Well, my friend, God is still on his throne, but there's another throne or throne-like position, our presidency. Not a throne, exactly, that is, not a theocracy, not a monarchy, but people are reacting to this president as if monarchy is what he intends. Ironically, that concern is far removed from the truth. Monarchs just do what they want. They are not obstructed at every turn from Congress to the judiciary to the mainstream media. And yet, despite all this, the president has had a remarkable week. Yes, what a week for President Trump. Not a dull moment when you turn on the news. Actually, it's not just this week. It's been going on ever since he won the election in November. Never a boring second in the headlines. And while he's not a monarch, you could call him a sheriff. Because there's definitely new sheriff in town, and this town lately is the entire globe. Even as I speak to you right now, a U.S. aircraft carrier is in close proximity to North Korea, whose dictator has discovered some new toys. They're called missiles. He's hoping to fire a few of them at Japan, maybe even Seattle. What will President Trump do? Nobody knows. Unlike President Obama, he doesn't draw maps or announce strategy. He doesn't post the arrival and departure flights of our troops and weapons. But the world did get a clue about what this new sheriff will be like. They got that clue a few days ago. President of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, bombed a village with chemical gas weapons and then did a follow-up bombing in the hospital that was treating the victims, including women, children, babies. President Trump, instead of giving a speech, ordered our Navy to fire 60 Tomahawk missiles. 59 of them hit their targets. And the objective was to take out the airport facilities where the chemical bombs were flown from. This action has received support from both Republicans and Democrats. It's also received criticism from Republicans and Democrats. Many conservatives are very divided on the issue. A lot of them are weary of another entrenched battle in the Middle East. And yes, Trump campaigned strongly against that sort of thing. Should we get into another long, protracted conflict in the Middle East by waging war on Syria and then trying our hand at nation building again? Absolutely not. However, that's not the only question we should be asking. Here's another question, a somewhat obvious one. Was there anything wrong with a limited strike that takes out the ability to wage chemical warfare on children? Of course not. That was about the least any moral president could do. I felt similar about the Iraq situation. Contrary to popular opinion, there actually were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Now, I wrote an article and did a radio interview on the subject and am convinced by what was uncovered. You can find both archived on my website. I had zero problem with America removing Saddam Hussein. It was the second conflict which followed that was the problem for me, the sequel, if you will. After we got rid of Hussein, what we should have done was said to the Iraqis, okay, Iraqis, we got rid of your dictator. The playing field is even again, but this is your country, not ours. What you do now in your own country is your own business, so we'll just leave you alone now. Oh, before we go, There is one, however. Now, we're only going to say this once, so we hope you're paying attention. If any Iraqi-sponsored terrorists find their way to the United States, we may just drop in again. That's what we should have done. Well, of course, we didn't do it that way. Instead, we hung around for years trying to turn a people whose religion teaches theocracy into a democracy, forcing our soldiers to become policemen. Waste of time. Waste of our brave soldiers' lives, especially with the insane rules of engagement. So here we go again. Could the airstrike end up being a prelude to another prolonged military quagmire? It's possible. It's possible. But at the moment, that has not yet happened. At the moment, it's refreshing to see a genuine commander-in-chief who actually takes decisive action when necessary instead of drawing a red line in the sandbox and then giving his sandwich to the bully anyway. But skilled global leadership was not the only good news for Trump this week. He has also been vindicated, although good luck getting the mainstream media to admit that he's been vindicated. For over a month now, Trump has been pillaged and ridiculed in the media for claiming his transition team was wiretapped by the Obama administration. Then word got out that National Security Advisor Susan Rice had requested the unmasking of Trump team officials from our intelligence agencies who record any conversations American officials have with other countries. Before the story broke, Susan Rice had appeared on PBS. They asked her about the whole unmasking process. She vehemently denied that anything like that was going on, at least not to her knowledge. But then, not long after, the investigative report provided more than one source to more than one news media outlet that was actually Susan Rice herself who did the unmasking. The two news agencies were Fox and Bloomberg. On that day, the day being April the 3rd, I put the following post on Facebook, which I'm going to read to you. And in this post, I made two predictions. Both predictions came true. It didn't take long. Now, I say that not to boast. Many of my political predictions have not come true, and many have. Either way, I am not a self-proclaimed prophet. In this case, a trained chimpanzee could have made the same prediction, only because our times have become so stupidly predictable. Still, as an illustration of the sad PC culture we live in, let me read you my post. After that, we'll play two news clips showing the fulfillment. Here I am on Facebook last week. Breaking news. Sources for Fox say the unmasking of Trump associates came from Susan Rice, confirming Trump's tweet about surveillance under the Obama administration and also corroborating the claims of GOP Representative Devin Nunes. At this early stage, it is perhaps fair to wait until we hear more before drawing ironclad conclusions. In the meantime, there is a safe conclusion we can count on one way or the other. A couple of predictions which will come true in the very near future, probably even today, but soon, rest assured. Predictions. Democratic politicians and or pundits will do the following. One, try to dismiss this story in as much as it comes from that horrible right-wing Fox News instead of balanced, trustworthy sources such as MSNBC or CNN. Two, any accusations towards Susan Rice, despite the fact that she has already been caught in lies about Benghazi and lies about Sergeant Bergdahl, will be chalked up to the GOP being both anti-woman and anti-African-American, and in her case, both. When you hear these duck-stuffing responses, and I promise they are on their way, just use your imagination and you'll be surprised how quickly you can find a response of your own. Is the GOP anti-woman? The same GOP whose current president has a female counselor, one Kellyanne Conway, who also has the distinction of being the first woman to successfully head a presidential campaign. The same GOP that nominated Sarah Palin as vice president and elected Nikki Haley governor. Same Haley currently serving under Trump as UN ambassador. The same GOP whose president nominated Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. The same GOP who under George W. Bush had a female African-American Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. The same GOP who, while accused of being on a war against women, seems to find far more time than the Democrats to speak out against the Islamo-fascist countries, which arrest and execute any women who drive, teach, show up in public without their husbands, or refuse to cover their faces properly. Yes, the Democratic talking points are predictable. It is time the GOP and other conservatives respond with a few talking points of your own. Okay, that is what I wrote on Facebook last week. Here's what we heard in the days that followed. First, from Don Lemon of CNN.
The Washington Post today calls the latest claims about Susan Rice anatomy of a fake scandal ginned up by right-wing media and Trump. So let us be very clear about this. There is no evidence whatsoever that the Trump team surveilled or spied on, was spied on illegally. There is no evidence that backs up the president's original claim. And on this program tonight, we will not insult your intelligence by pretending otherwise, nor will we aid and abet the people who are trying to misinform you, the American people, by creating a diversion. Not going to do it.
Next, Hardball with Chris Matthews. Matthews had a brilliant guest on his program, David Corn. It is David Corn's voice that you are listening to right now.
When Rand Paul gets out there and says she's abused this right, there is not an iota of evidence that she's abused anything. Calling her defunct Mary, all we know now is that she did her job. Did she do something wrong? There is no information indicating that. So they are making her, you know, basically they're defaming her without any reason to do so. Because she's a woman, maybe because she's a black woman, maybe because they didn't like her during Benghazi.
Now, Susan Rice has already walked back her story. It seems now that in the remake story, she did request, after all, the unmasking, but not for political reasons, mind you. Oh, well, thanks for clearing that up, Susan. I believe you. After all, your track record for honesty is stellar, first rate. But then don't go by me. I believe in the Easter Bunny, too. Wait. We're talking about reality, not fantasy? Never mind. Speaking of Easter bunnies, Easter is also in the news because Easter is right around the corner. I'm reading now from The Blaze. You're going to like this one. Cadbury chocolate eggs are an Easter staple in the UK, and many Americans have also adopted the creamy treat as part of their holiday tradition. But the chocolate company didn't ask its customers when it decided to quietly pull the word Easter from the packaging of its holiday products. And apparently, Cadbury is not the only company to do so. According to Telegraph, it's become somewhat of a trend to stroll through a festive supermarket candy aisle during the Easter season without seeing one actual mention of the holiday. Instead, one is likely to see faith-neutral chocolate eggs. Don't you love that phrase? Faith-neutral chocolate eggs. Yeah, folks, it used to just happen at Christmas time, but now it happens during Easter as well. People gravely concerned about its religious implications. And here to tell you all about it is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, boys and girls. Looking forward to an Easter egg hunt this year? Well, have fun, but make sure you're considerate of other people's feelings. And that means no public Easter egg hunts. Nothing at school, nothing at parks or playgrounds. But don't worry, Mommy and Daddy will hide them at home for you. And Mommy and Daddy think it's fun to have hidden colored eggs all over the house. You see, Easter offends some of your little playmates at school. I know they don't seem to mind Easter egg hunts, but believe me, they really are offended. Because some of their parents are telling them how offended they are. And boys and girls know that their parents are always right. You see, we live in a country where religion isn't supposed to be mentioned in public, and Easter is a religious holiday. It's about Jesus. Jesus Christ was a nice man. But people aren't allowed to say his name too loudly outside, unless they say it accidentally when they stub their toe or when they are angry. Then it's okay to shout Jesus Christ outside. Now some of you are thinking, I don't believe in Jesus. And what does Jesus have to do with the Easter Bunny anyway? Well, not much. And that's why for years people didn't mind the bunny. But this year, people are smarter. They finally figured out that the Easter Bunny and Jesus are part of the same holiday. And that's not good. Because if everybody saw that bunny and his basket of cute colored eggs, that would violate their civil liberties. Do you know what a civil liberty is? Civil liberty is the right to not have to look at that bad basket of big, beautiful eggs. And if we don't allow that civil liberty, it will force people to believe in the Easter Bunny against their will. And if they still don't want to believe it, the new Easter Bunny sheriff will move into town and force people to have Easter egg hunts even if they don't want to. And those who refuse to hunt for eggs will be thrown in jail, and then they will die. So have your Easter egg hunt at home, only not outside, because your neighbors might see you hide those eggs all around your house. And be sure to close your window drapes. Otherwise, your neighbors might accidentally see some of those Easter decorations while they're taking their dog for a walk. Dogs do not violate liberties. Bunnies do. Well, that's about it, kids. Thank you for listening. And now that you have agreed to be such courteous boys and girls, have a happy Easter.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I have a message for President Trump. And no, I'm not assuming he'll ever hear this message. I'm speaking in the second person just for style, just to make a point, just to show all of you where I'm at right now with our new president, not out of some naive belief that Donald Trump cares about my opinion or that he's ever even heard of this local radio show anyway. Still, here it is. President Trump, I voted for you. Originally, you were not my first choice, but toward the end of the primaries, I started thinking you might be the only GOP candidate to win the election because you would actually fight instead of rolling over and playing dead, as so many GOP do during elections and after they get elected, for fear of offending Democrats and mainstream media who have already decided ahead of time that they will be offended no matter what the GOP does. They would be offended if one of them sneezed. They would be even more offended if after the sneeze, somebody said, God bless you. Separation between church and state, after all. Even so, there was nothing to think about. While I see you as more of a populist than a conservative, given the choice between you and Hillary, there was not even a moment of indecision. And so I rolled the dice the unknown but experimental way instead of the alternative direction, a path whose blithering lunacy would have destroyed our country in time. That was then. This is now. Much has happened. And I must say, ever since you won the election, I have been very impressed, mostly by the speed with which you keep, or at least attempt to keep, your promises, arrogant judicial activists marching order demagoguery Democrats and gutless compromising Republican Congress notwithstanding. Having said that, I implore you, President Trump, stop blaming the Freedom Caucus for trying to do the very thing that you are already doing so well, attempting to keep their promises. I know you're a deal maker, but sometimes values cannot be compromised, even for the art of the deal. And while it is probably impossible to pass any piece of legislation without some give and take on all sides, the history of the GOP up to now is that the conservatives are usually the first ones expected to compromise. Many conservatives ran on repealing, not repairing, Obamacare. They owe their constituents. They do not owe Paul Ryan or his miserable excuse for a bill that he probably found at the bottom of a box of Cracker Jack. And with all due respect, Mr. President, they do not owe you either. All of you owe the public that elected you. The government should just stay out of the healthcare business and let the free market take over. Oh, there are still separate programs that can take care of those who cannot afford to pay at all. But in general, people should not have to lose their good health care in order to give everyone the same miserable health care. That is not a medical solution or even remotely connected with anything medicinal. It is veiled wealth redistribution. And while I'm inclined to believe that Trump care might at least be an improvement based on your business experience, I feel absolutely no trust or optimism whatsoever call Ryan Care, or more correctly spelled, Rhino Care. And frankly, what we really need is governmentless care. President Trump, you could go down in history as one of the few politicians who actually keeps his promises. Don't ruin it all by punishing others who wish to do the same. By the way, there is something your businessman skills can bring to the table right now. You can sit down next to what other imbecile of your staff advised you to blame the Freedom Caucus, look him in the eye and say, you're fired. Respectfully, Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious. By the way, I am not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Listen to this customer review of Bob Siegel's novel, Choice of the Lorelei. I saw this play on which the story is based many years ago. Elements of it have stayed with me over the years as it expanded my imagination about how things might have been in ancient times. It was also very exciting to see this story intersecting with the other works by the author. Very different stories, yet linked by a common element. I can hardly wait for more. Choice of the Lorelei, available in ebook or print copies from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Yes, a lot of simultaneous, emotionally charged discussions are going on in our country right now. Several of them related to the United States Constitution's separation of powers. In one corner, we had the Senate confirmation hearings. Thank God they're over. The hearings of President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch, who had come from the federal appellate judge. He was from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. And yeah, he finally got confirmed. It took the GOP getting fed up with the Democrats. Didn't think they had it in them, by the way. And they ended that time-honored but brain-challenged filibuster rule and instead implored what is commonly called the nuclear option. But equally ongoing news, and this is still current, has been President Trump's second attempt at an executive order vetting potential terrorist threats amongst refugees from designated countries. And that's being held up once again in our court system, just like the first one. Both debates questioned the power and limitations of the judiciary. Both were also sparring over phrases such as original, intent. Two United States Democrat senators in particular have a problem with any Supreme Court nominee who would make rulings according to the original intent of our forefathers who framed the Constitution. Yeah, God forbid that the opinions of the forefathers that wrote the Constitution should be taken into consideration. Instead, we should listen to these geniuses that are running our country now. Well, anyway, in his opening remarks at the Neil Gorsuch hearing, Senator Patrick Leahy, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, Leahy, he said, "While it has gained some popularity within conservative circles, originalism, I believe, remains outside the mainstream of moderate constitutional jurisprudence." Well, his view is shared by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. "Judge Gorsuch has also stated that he believes judges should look to the original public meaning of the Constitution when they decide what a provision of the Constitution means. This is personal, but I find this originalist judicial philosophy to be really troubling. In essence, it means that judges and courts should evaluate our constitutional rights and privileges as they were understood in 1789. However, to do so would not only ignore the intent of the framers, it severely limits the genius of what our Constitution upholds. I firmly believe the American Constitution is a living document intended to evolve as our country evolves." Well, that, you know, that's an original idea with Feinstein. We haven't heard the term living document before, have we? It's like these people just have it rubber stamped. Anyway, Feinstein's comment apparently means that going with the forefathers' intent actually ignores their intent. You got to follow this carefully because they intended for times to change. That's a very clever reclaiming of the phrase, but it is also a point void of historical or legal reality. In point of fact, our forefathers did provide for changing times, but not at the cost of their original intentions. The provision was that our Constitution could be amended by a vote from the states, the very states who are supposed to be allowed to participate in our republic. Unfortunately, the other popular phrase, living document, well, sounding quite sophisticated, is not being offered as a reminder that our Bill of Rights can be fluid. Instead, what Feinstein and the others mean with his overly used mantra is nothing short but code for oligarchy, the cheering of justices who rule and legislate from the bench and justify such rulings by gold mining so-called interpretations from our Constitution. And that would, if possible, make men like James Madison turn in their living, breathing graves. While we're on the subject of original intent, neither Leahy nor Feinstein seem to be on record challenging a recent court ruling from U.S. District Judge Derek K. Watson against President Donald Trump's rebooted executive vetting order, and the judge's stated concern that the order unfairly targets Muslims. Although the countries in question are in fact Muslim, most Muslim countries were left off of the ban. The specific places listed: Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. They were included due to terrorist connections and braggadocio from ISIS promising to send their operatives into our country disguised as fleeing refugees. What part of that do you not understand, ladies and gentlemen? President Trump's latest order does continue a 90-day ban on travelers, but it exempts visa holders and permanent residents. It also removes wording of preferential status toward one persecuted religious group over another and says, and I'm reading now from the order itself, This order shall not apply to an individual who has been granted asylum, to a refugee who has already been admitted to the United States, or to an individual granted withholding of removal or protection under the Convention Against Torture. Nothing in this order shall be construed to limit the ability of an individual to seek asylum, withholding of removal or protection under the Convention Against Torture consistent with the laws of the United States. That was from Section 12E. Okay. Is this latest executive order constitutional? The United States Constitution separates the powers of the three branches of government, giving the Congress, not the judiciary, the Congress power to, quote unquote, establish a uniform rule of naturalization. This same branch of Congress, given that power under the Constitution in 1952, passed what's called the Immigration and Nationality Act, which granted considerable freedom and discretion to the president. So the power is given to the Congress. They pass a law that gives some of it to the president. And here's that law I'm reading from that, from the Nationality Immigration Act. Whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate. All right, but neither the INA nor the actual wording of the executive order from President Trump seemed to concern U.S. District Judge Watson nearly as much as campaign statements from candidate Trump, which suggested at that time that we temporarily halt Muslim immigration in general, and I'm quoting from him now, until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. Says Watson in part of his 43-page opinion, a reasonable objective observer, enlightened by the specific historical context, contemporaneous public statements, and specific sequence of events leading to its issuance, would conclude that the executive order was issued with a purpose to disfavor a particular religion. All right, time now for a consistency check. Two senators, Leahy, Feinstein, and any others who reject the idea of courts ruling according to original intent, what suddenly makes Donald Trump's original intent more important than the original intent of the framers of the Constitution? Anyway, Gorsuch did get through because of the nuclear option. Unfortunately, the 60-vote needed rule remains when legislation is passed. That is still a problem, and we will discuss that problem when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously
After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Explanations about why Congress could not simply repeal Obamacare instead of repairing it. Now that the repair bill has failed, keep in mind that the primary reason being tossed around was that a straight repeal, if passed in the House, would not have passed in the Senate because it would fall short of the 60 votes needed. The Senate. I sure am getting sick and tired of Republicans making all these promises to get elected and then giving us excuses about why they can't get legislation passed, or why it took so long to get a cabinet member confirmed, or a Supreme Court justice confirmed, or why we should have to listen to Senator Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or Al Franken pontificate about anything when instead actual progress could be made. Stop already. Stop worrying about the New York Times editorial page. They will paint you as demonic no matter what you do, so you may as well just do the right thing. Do what you were elected to do. Do what you promised to do. Start worrying more about pleasing the people who put you in power. Quit listening to lectures about bipartisanship. I would love to see that phrase repealed. That's what ought to be repealed, the phrase bipartisanship. Enough. With the 60 votes needed in the Senate, you finally figured out that nothing was going to move an inch until you used the nuclear option to confirm Judge Gorsuch. Use the nuclear option again. Make a new rule which puts the nuclear option in place for everything. Everything else. Use it to get legislation passed now. The Democrats would use the nuclear option in a heartbeat. Heck, the Democrats have used the nuclear option in a heartbeat. Never mind the archaic, mindless gentleman club rules that the Senate abides by, which in reality can be changed at any time by the party in the majority. Are the Democrats behaving like gentlemen? No? Then quit thinking of this chamber as a gentleman's club. In any event, is it ungentlemanly to say that elections have consequences? Is it wrong to rule as a majority when you are the majority? Or will you flush the whole thing down a sewer and throw 2018 election back to a party which I assure you will behave like they are the majority should they get the majority again? That's what we heard in 2009 when Obamacare was shoved down our throats. When Democrats win, they say elections have consequences. When Democrats lose, supposedly the American people want bipartisanship. No. The American people want promises kept. You were put in power to do what you promised to do, not to explain the complexities and subtle nuances of the idiotic Senate. Yes, elections have consequences. What were the consequences this time? A majority of cowardly crumb cakes. G-O-P. You thought that stood for Grand Old Party? GOP, gutless Obamacare panderers. If I sound angry, well, you need to understand. The only reason I sound that way is because I am. But there are things that anger me even more. Absolutely outrageous comments being made in public. For example, notice how quickly liberals compare the enforcement of our immigration laws to the Nazi Holocaust. An incredibly half-witted comparison, inasmuch as Jews were legal German citizens, rounded up not for the purpose of being sent home, they already were home, rounded up for extermination. And yet how many of these same liberals denounce Israel and take the side of the Palestinians who will not even recognize Israel's right to exist, who put Hamas in power, which calls for the extermination of Israel. And by the way, Palestinian President Abbas is a Holocaust denier. He works with people who wouldn't mind a new Holocaust Well, he denies the existence of the old Holocaust. Good one, Abbas. Here's another winner. Have you heard the latest? Now people are demanding that Melania Trump either move into the White House or pay for her own security. Apparently, these self-righteous elites in search of a serious cause have forgotten that our current president takes no salary, although there probably isn't enough money to make up for all the vile comments he and his family have had to endure. By the way, President Obama, who did take a salary, also played a heck of a lot of golf, all under Secret Service protection, paid for by our tax dollars. Where were the protests then, especially on the day he golfed after hearing the news about ISIS cutting off an American's head? Are you up for another one? Yeah, I'll give you another one. So let's see if I'm understanding the brilliant logic here. House Intelligence Committee Chair Devin Nunes needed to recuse himself because he has a bias in favor of President Trump. But the guy pushing for that, Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat, also serving on the committee, a man who represents the party which has sworn to oppose Trump at every turn. He's fair, objective, and unbiased. Congressman Schiff, what color is the sky in your world? Well, if you'd like to weigh in on any of this, you can always reach me on Twitter, Facebook, or online, questions@bobsiegel.net, right through my website. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. And Joy on Facebook says, when I watch the other than Fox News stations and read the mainstream media, I feel like I am entering an alternative universe. I believe President Trump wants to help our country, and they all want to stop him at every turn. Also, more than one of my friends is always bashing Trump. That, to me, also feels like we, my friends and I, are living in alternative universes. Joy, I think you're absolutely right. It is almost like two universes. I just got to mention this one, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard about the violence out on the college campus. Talk about our alternative universes. So what's the justification when a conservative speaker goes out there? At first, they were being shouted down. Now there's violence used to stop these things. And the people perpetrating the violence and the media commenting on the violence are saying that's democracy in action because they have a right to their freedom of speech. Since when is your freedom of speech obstructing somebody else's freedom of speech? But you haven't heard the latest one. Now, if somebody complains about the violence, that's not true violence. That's freedom of speech. And if you complain about the violence, your statement is the real violence. Should we be surprised when a black woman can say she feels white, when a man can say he feels like a woman, when a woman can say he feels like a man? Whatever we feel like, that's it. You don't feel like you're doing violence. Next, it'll go to the courts. We'll have eyewitnesses. The guy will say, well, Your Honor, it may have looked like violence. It may, in fact, have been violence physically, but in my soul, in my spirit, in my innermost being, I didn't feel like I was being violent. I felt like I was being as peaceful as Gandhi. And what are we supposed to do? Oh, well, who are we to judge? Better let the guy off. Yeah, you're right, Joy. It's an alternative universe. Oh, I have more comments to read, and I won't necessarily give a speech after each one of them, but we will be back.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they'd hope would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Falduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, F ALDUTI.com.
The verdict is in on Bob Siegel's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Readers love it, and they say as much in their customer reviews. Reviews such as this one. Like the Chronicles of Narnia in the last century, the story is fun and mysterious, appropriate for adults as well as kids, and should become a classic. I won't even give any spoilers, but I will say that I couldn't put it down. It makes a point without being preachy. There are twists and turns and a great ending. Like the title object, the story challenges your thinking without leaving you in despair. This book would make an excellent Christmas gift for yourself or others, and it can be enjoyed at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. It's been a while since I've done politics. I did hit it briefly last week, but I've mostly gone almost a month without it, and there's been so much going on in the news. When you're on once a week and you're a show that does different subjects, boy, it's hard to keep up with the news. So I've done my best to catch up today, and I think we've hit a lot of the major things going on. And now I'm reading your responses, including that important news about Easter eggs and Easter Bunny. Donna says, I'm thinking it's more probable that there is an Easter Bunny than Susan Rice even knows how to tell the truth. Rust says, number one, Easter Bunny. Number two, Santa Claus. Number three, the Tooth Fairy. Number four, CNN reporting. Number five, Donna Rice. Number six, Barack Obama. You can believe all of them. No, wait, I believed and actually got what I was told I would get from the first three. Steve says, regarding Susan Rice, did I call her Donna Rice a minute ago? I might have, but I meant there was a Donna Rice in the news years ago. I won't even get into that. It's Susan Rice. Susan Rice. She may not be speaking the truth, but I'm going to speak the truth and at least give her true name. Susan Rice. Steve says she is a true Obamaite. I believe she would run into a burning building for her ex-boss. I have just this to say. All of his administration should be locked up. This is totally more than 18 minutes of tape. I think he's referring to the Watergate scandal. Yeah, this makes Watergate look like a picnic in Central Park. Steve says it's treasonous. We know it's a felony. We don't hear any media talking about this either. What's that about? Well, there is media that talks about it, Steve, but they're immediately branded right-wing media. And, of course, supposedly there's no such thing as a left-wing media. The left-wing, what we call the left-wing, is just the good old common sense that any responsible, educated person ought to have. That's the arrogance. Regarding last week's April Fool monologue and the corresponding Facebook post where I came on the air and said that the Republicans should work with the Democrats and give them their way, even if they're the minority party. And then I said, April Fools. I had a lot of people going. Wayne says, I was starting to think you drank the Kool-Aid, Bob. Regarding the call for Melania Trump to move into the White House or stop using taxpayer dollars for Secret Service, Gary says, the amount of money the Obamas spent on vacations is obscene. Funny, the feigned ignorance of the left. Bill says, good evening, Bob. Yes, it's true that the president's family does get and need security to take care of them. But who complained when Michelle went on shopping trips to Hawaii, taking with her several Secret Service agents, all at the government's expense? Please give our president a chance to change the things he said he would change, even with the liberal left blocking him at every turn. They are to blame for the shape of the country, both with the Obama years and by keeping our president from doing the job that the people have elected him to do. Now, Tim takes issue with my comment. He says, I don't see this as a comparative analysis, just whether something is right or wrong, independent of political affiliation. If the Obamas soaked taxpayers with too many vacations, that's not right. Whether you and I should foot billions so... or millions, whether you and I should foot millions so Barron doesn't have to switch schools in mid-year is still a fair question. Okay, Tim,
I don't care that Obama went on vacation. As far as I was concerned, the more time he spent away from Washington, the better our country was. Now, as I said, I did take issue with him playing golf on the day ISIS cut off an American's head, but that aside, his vacations were fine. My point is that the people criticizing Melania Trump didn't seem to think their tax dollars were wasted on their hero Obama, who could never, in their eyes, do anything wrong. Regarding my message for President Trump to stop tweeting about the Freedom Caucus, Sharon says, hope you sent this. Diane, responding on my Facebook version where I wrote it out, says, would be great if Trump actually read this. Unlikely, Diane, unlikely. Just a literary device allowing me to vent and share with at least some, but who knows? Stranger things have happened. Jim says, Bob, you have it so right. I just need to stand up and say no repeal and replace Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act. We just need affordable or sensible care. I agree with you, Jim. The government just shouldn't be doing anything. Regarding my comments about people comparing our immigration policies to the Nazis, Teddy says, it's called insanity. Russ says, these folks have lost their ability to reason, Bob. Seriously, they are unable to connect the dots, as you have demonstrated in this example. Regarding the call for Devin Nunes to step down from the investigation while Congressman Schiff remains, Lisa says, very true. So much hypocrisy. Regarding Republicans being unable to repeal Obamacare, Valia says, I am angry too. I'm glad that I was able to get some of you angry with me. I feel my mission was accomplished today. Valia says, I am angry too. Republicans already forgot the November elections. They are not loyal. I don't trust them. Democrats are loyal to their agenda and their leaders. Shame, but there is always up. You're right, Valia. The Democrats stick together. Only they have hideous policies that they're sticking together on. The Republicans, many of them trying to do the right thing, just end up with these constant circling firing squads. It's very sad. They could learn something from Trump. Trump's got a lot of problems. But one thing they could learn from him is how to fight. Denise writes, angry as hell and not wanting to take it anymore. I don't know if you're all familiar with where that phrase came. I'm dating myself, but there was a brilliant movie by the brilliant playwright, Paddy Chayefsky, but it was a screenplay this time, not a stage play. It was called Network. And it predicted the reality television show years ago. When you watched it in the movie Network, you're saying, television doesn't do things like this. And there was a guy named Howard Beale. He was a newscaster, and he was starting to lose it. People could tell he was literally losing his mind and going insane, but he was getting great ratings. So the network kept him on, and then they turned it into a game show, and then they hired terrorists to do their own game show, and then when the ratings started falling, they hired the terrorists to assassinate him on TV. But anyway, one of the phrases from Howard Beale in the movie Network was, I want you to get out of your seat, I want you to go to your window and shout, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not taking it anymore. And then it shows people in the movie running to their windows. Well, of course, while I was watching this in the movie theater, the movie was had about 10 minutes to go when somebody got up. Yeah, you could probably predict this would happen. Somebody got up, walked over to the emergency exit, turned around the theater and says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it anymore. Anyway, if you get a chance, rent the movie Network. You are going to be amazed how far ahead of its time that it was. Anyway, Steve says, let's look at the bright side. I know it's hard, but take a minute. The Democrats are going to be crying very soon. Let Obamacare explode like an atom bomb, and they will be begging for a fix. Then there will be all new Republicans, Congress. God help us. All right, I wish you a happy Easter. By the way, for those of you freaked out over the word Easter, Easter was a celebration the Romans did before the Christians took it over. And the word Easter is referring to a Roman goddess. They didn't call it Christer, so I think the people taking the word Easter out of it, if they realized they weren't really removing anything Christian. Anyway, I shouldn't say this. I don't want to give the ACLU ideas, but have a happy Easter.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.